Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
All right, so we're all recording?
Yes.
Okay, I'll start the clap. Okay.
Was it good enough? Perhaps. I didn't go too... I went like...
Clap insecurities, man.
All right, ready to go.
Now entering the DGDC.
You ready for a deep dive?
And Jordan did most of the crap.
Can't believe I said that.
I've been doing this in 2008. What the fuck do I know?
Drawing hands is my kryptonite.
Loading up elbow logos.
Yeah. For the show.
Welcome to the DGDC, a united team of design professionals, creatively bound to bring unique inspiration and uncommon perspectives. You can email us listener questions or topic ideas to hello@dgdcpod.com or check out our website, dgdcpod.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram or Twitter @dgdcpod. Plus now you can join in on the conversation. We have a Facebook group. Just pop onto our website and hit the community tab at the top. Now, on with the show.
Hey, everybody. We are back for another fantastic little episode. I'm here with Mikkel and Jordan. What's up, guys? How's everybody doing?
Hello. Hello. Great.
It's been a little while.
It has, actually.
It has.
I feel like we're on a hiatus a little bit.
It doesn't feel like a vacation. It just, it feels like, man, I got to remember how to record a podcast. Yeah.
But also, fall is among us, and it's just... It just hits so suddenly. And when is it? Daylight savings is early November this year.
Yeah.
It just all is clouding in. It's nuts. I mean, I cannot believe it. Feels like we just woke up Monday morning for this week. It's crazy how fast time
is going. And it happens over, does it happen overnight for you guys? Like it's like instant like fall in your area, like temperature change.
It happened pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I love. Like
There's no transition.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, oh, it went from 70 to 40 and it's rainy forever
exactly,
now.
Exactly. Like,
okay. But I also like it.
I know.
I love this time of year too. But you can't blink with the seasonal leaf color and all that beauty of autumn. It just, like last night we had huge high winds and all the leaves are gone. Like just like that. Now we're like in winter, basically.
This is the time here in LA that's usually right around Halloween where the winds really kick up. We always have some fire threat because it's still 80, 90 degrees outside. It's like kind of crazy. But I reached for a jacket for the first time the other day. It felt like a year. Like we haven't had the need, even at nighttime, for like a jacket in forever. It's just kind of nuts. So I'm anticipating... the chill a little bit, and then obviously the holidays. I think we're getting. Don't you feel like we're gonna? I just at least enjoy the holidays a little bit better than last year.
Yeah,
right.
It already 100%. Feels that way.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. With just the in-person school learning and all the planning for trunk or treat and all those notices coming out,
that's so cool.
Feels different completely.
Yeah, when Costco says it's the holiday season, it's the holiday season.
Are you guys going to dress up this year?
Oh, there's a possibility, and that's why the semi mustache here. I'm gonna go for Ted Lasso this year.
Oh, hilarious!
That's gonna be
nice. For those listening and not able to see, Nick is sporting a proper handlebar mustache.
There you go. It's getting there. I know. All I did was trim the rest.
That's all you need to do, right? Contrast. Right? We know that as designers.
The MLB postseason is high and tight and super exciting right now. And typically, with November closely approaching, you start to see all of the huge beards and the handlebars amongst the players. And you're not really seeing that this season.
Interesting. Yeah. I haven't seen that yet either. I know.
Damn.
But it's perfect for Halloween time because if you need to do something weird for a costume, it's great, right?
Totally.
How about you guys? Any plans?
I'll probably wear something silly, stupid, momish on my head so that when I greet people at the door, I look like I'm in the spirit.
There you go.
But I'm really like pretty buzzed with wine or something.
And that reminds me, we do need to do a Q&A or a listener question with some drinks for maybe the next episode.
That'd be
fun. I love that. What, anything cool you guys are working on or business-wise? How's everything going?
Yeah, there's a bunch of projects. I got a bunch of balls in the air right now. But a few of them are still under NDA, so I don't know if I can talk about them on the podcast. But, like, yeah, definitely busy. There's some fun stuff.
That's exciting,
though. And then, yeah, for sure. For sure.
NDAs don't necessarily take the excitement away. I actually love that type of thing.
A little secret.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you don't feel feel pressure to post anything portfolio, right? Portfolio exactly. For the time being.
You're like, look what I'm doing.
I'm so behind on that shit. Like, I think
I'm done.
I don't think I've updated my website in 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's awful.
Yeah.
We're collaborating with this really amazing agency out in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we have a roundup every week because there's so much going on for lead gen efforts, and it's just been really fun. It's been really fun to just have that people-oriented project going where you're constantly on Slack with each other, you're in meetings, and then there's all these different groupings taking place where you gather together everyone once a week, but then you're having these offline conversations with those respective of sub-projects to the efforts. It's fun. Yeah.
I like it. Yeah,
I missed it.
You probably was going to say you probably needed it, right? Like, because it's so needed, in even if it's not your 100% day-to-day, throughout the year. But to get one of those little moments where you're part of that group and a collaboration, nothing beats it, really.
It's important. And then you get to learn about the agency, current trends and practices and standardized areas that are just people aren't even raising a brow. It's just, it's good to be tapped into that again and learn from one another. And everybody's got a piece of humility, and it's really refreshing. So they're constantly saying, what does that mean? Or how do I do that? Where do I look for some direction on that? It's nice.
Yeah.
It's so refreshing. It's human. Yeah. We're all human, and it's honest.
That's a profoundly important thing I think every freelancer can benefit is, like, when you do, like, I contract through agencies often, one, because I love, like, having that collaboration that I don't get as a freelancer.
Yeah.
But also, my process has totally changed over the last few years simply because I was, like, working with agencies and adopting a lot of their policies and, like, how do you throw together a pitch deck, or, like, how do you propose a client, or, like, how do you break down scheduling and pricing? Like, you know, these are questions I think young designers always ask, and, like, man, you can get that answer. You can get all those answers, like, pretty quickly just by, like, working with an agency in some regard, you know?
Isn't it also shocking, Jordan, to learn if there has been some disclosure about the agency's estimate material and how they break down project scope?
Yeah.
The massive cost gap between independent practices and agencies.
We got to tighten that gap, don't we?
No, I mean, that's like, I think those things
you need
help you get more confident in pricing. Like, when I see, like, oh, we put together an icon package, you know, with an agency, I'm like, holy shit, you guys are charging this much. Okay, man, I'm like, you know, way before. And I get, like, they have overhead and it's always going to be more expensive.
There's no secret. We know everyone's working remotely. There's not that overhead in-house utilizing printers and stuff as it had been for the time being. So it's always curious a little bit.
It's a balance. You know, I know this isn't today's topic, but also, you know, like, agencies have, like, account managers and, you know, project managers. People as a client, it is kind of like a top shelf. Like, I have someone dedicated to just any questions I have, they're on hand no matter what. Where it's like, I try to do that as a freelancer, but it's not possible to be, like, so available every second of the day. But I think our strength is, like, well, you also, when you do work with freelancers as a client, like, you're working with the people who's actually making decisions. Like, the project manager isn't the one designing, isn't the one creative directing, isn't the one, like, making the thing. They're just your voice. So, like,
for sure,
there's a balance, you know. But I think the more we can do as freelancers to kind of adopt that a bit,
sure,
I think you end up, like, in a much better place.
Yeah. It made me realize too, when you guys were first talking about this, the things I have missed about working at a company was the exposure to the other divisions and the other people you have to work so closely with, and getting an insight on what makes them tick, and vice versa too. They need to know and see what a creative team looks like to understand how to demand or to ask or to put a brief in, whatever it is. And I think that's a missing element, one that I don't get to see as much anymore, but also too, I'm fearful that with more virtual work, you know, the hybrid models I feel like are going to be so much better because you still got to see other departments and their struggles. And maybe you might find a way to help them out, even as someone from the creative team, you know?
Right.
Totally.
Yeah. And it's kind of unique. And I've hearing that from a lot of folks that are in their second or third year out of school and in a job. And particularly now that they're like, a year ago, they were like, oh my God, I'm working from home. This is the greatest. Now they're just like, my job's kind of very one-dimensional. You know, it's not robust. It doesn't have interaction. No one likes to, you know, it's like, so again, like hopefully we're learning through this time that there are ways for us to have all the benefits of both sides in some model down the road, you know?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of leads really nicely. We were thinking about a great topic for today.
Yeah, and sorry, Nick. Yeah.
Yeah, no, no. I love that we had a very natural segue here. It's kind of
I always love that. Yeah.
It's no surprise that the three of us have individually seen, and we're looking at you having access or seeing job boards and stuff, that there is an incredible hiring kind of phenomenon going on.
Overwhelmingly,
right now.
And
jobs are back. And we were even saying, you know, hey, if the right job came our way, and I would never say never to anything. And we were all kind of thinking, you know, why we should not only keep an eye on these things and seeing it about what's happening in our industry, what pay is out there, what kind of requirements are a lot of employers looking for. But we thought there's probably a lot of you out there that maybe, unfortunately, maybe had lost a job or now wanting to maybe make that upgrade, or like saw that your job over the last year and a half maybe hasn't kind of performed the way you wanted it to be. So there's so much opportunity out there that we are thinking from a designer's perspective and folks like us who do hire and have been hired in the past, what kind of attributes and things can really be, you know, extra special for you guys? The number one thing is standing out, right? I mean, don't you agree? Like in this world of digital submitting through an online thing, how in the world do we stand out as creatives, right?
Mm-hmm. Which is typically just doing the alternative, right? Mm-hmm. Or just like have such a strong voice that you own a space, whatever that space might be. It could be in any medium, but like, which is so hard to do.
I was thinking, and I do want to bring up that some of us may have the, I don't know if it would be a privilege, a sort of advantage or just general circumstance where we at times are a part of hiring processes and what we look for ourselves. I collaboratively team with those that submit portfolios every once in a while. And it's very cool and a learning experience all on its own to see what resonates straight away, because people are only taking a second to look, and then they're shoving it to the side.
Yeah.
So
it's like junk mail, you know, if it doesn't catch your eye in what is it? They call it like 4 seconds, less than that. It's in the trash.
You are a number. How do you captivate straight away?
Yeah.
Which is really sort of in line with how you prepare perhaps a ad campaign to captivate straight away all the same. You
persuasion.
Can apply some of those nuances.
Yeah, is that so? Like, all my students are putting together their self branding right now, and we said this morning. It's kind of like you do this work for your clients, you do this work as a designer for your projects, and doing it for yourself is the same way. And I think that's if you could promote yourself correctly, unforgettably, you know, and like authentically, then that increases those chances of maybe standing out a little bit, right?
Yes.
Yeah, when those are those soft skills like marketing and digital marketing, and then like being able to sort of convey and conform your brand into something digestible, that's immediately different than, you know, what's on the shelf or what's in the inbox. And it just, you know, understanding the process of how that might work and all your touch points and where they hit. And this can go for if you're trying to get a job at an agency or even as a freelancer looking for client work, you know, it's like that kind of stuff really does take some sort of like marketing understanding.
Cool.
It's not just a single portfolio. It's like, you got to put it to work. You got to find the touch points.
It all adds
the hooks out there.
It adds up to one big equation here. And this first area we were kind of thinking of kind of zeroing in on is kind of the like George just said, the soft skills and these things that are not particularly in the creative world, but we wanted to throw a unique spin on it. And in this world of remote jobs, like I was blown away when I was looking at the LinkedIn matches the other day. I'd say 80% of them were not only remote, but they were bragging that they were remote. So imagine that we are finally at the advantage as an employee looking for work. I think in the first time in quite a while, it felt like I should be in the job market. That's how good it looked, right? And
yeah,
but here's a good thing to think about. This first point is about setting your minimum requirements. I think it's really smart. And do you guys agree that don't play this like I'm going to take whatever comes my way? You still get to ask or get to at least define what you want to find, right?
Yeah, beggars can't be choosers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of like when you go and before you do anything, and think of it as the research or the discovery we do before any job and project we're doing on. Shouldn't we do the same for a job if we were looking for it to actually like take? And if that means writing down exactly what is your baseline, do you need those requirements and the benefits? Is that a big thing? Or maybe you can handle that on your own, right? What are the things? Is it ideal to be remote? Is it ideal to be like a hybrid in some way? So the whole idea is you're just writing down notes to kind of explain and to yourself, where are my checkboxes, right?
Yeah. Well, and you know, I mentioned this at the top before recording, but like I'm currently trying to buy a house and like, it's the same sort of mentality of like, what do we want? What are our goals? Right. And then we can have that spectrum of like, man, totally. I'd love to be here and we can prioritize things. I want a detached garage or I want a basement, whatever that might be, prioritize. And then as we start to look, you know, you start to get these offers, you start to find these positions, you know, you can start to, you know, feel comfortable like, that was like a low priority. It's okay if I don't have it, right? Like whatever that might be. And job, same sort of situation, like defining what you want to end up being, where your comfort level is, what you feel like you bring to the table and what you value, I guess, really.
Yeah.
And what's realistic within like your means. Yeah. I think that makes the job hunting so much easier.
Yeah. It's a threshold, really. And I remember looking, I saw one job that looked amazing, right? And I was like, wow, I was just reading a little bit about it. But I was like, didn't get, you know, those, that feeling that when you were first looking for your first job, and maybe some of our listeners are in that same zone where you get those, like, you're like, oh my God, this is the one, like this, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I read the next one and I was like, oh my God, that's my wheelhouse. This one isn't, like this one speaks, you know, and I think that's just
allow
the thing.
Allow yourself the time to shop a little.
Yeah. What do you truly value in this job? And it should be a place and a thing that you're somewhat impassionate about or something that ticks something that kind of triggers you to go like, whoa, that would be my dream place to work at. And it doesn't have to be the big names. It's just the place itself, right?
I think that's a big point of like, it's not even necessarily just about what's the, you know, how much you make a year, like what is the price versus like the culture of the, like if it's an agency, you know, God, every agency is so different. And I've contacted with a few of them. And like, I stick to just a couple now because like, I love the culture. They might not pay me as much as some of the others, but like, they're so fun to work with. The kind of clients they bring in, like totally align with like what I'm into. And it's just like a very valuable experience. And so like, that's a big part too. It's like, you know, figure out not only like where your cost budget is, but also like what kind of work did they do? Like what kind of work do you want? What kind of team do you want to be part of? You know?
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to, I think, at least want that. Make a, it's kind of like your wish list in a way. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you're going to find the perfect place, you know, like finding a home. Not, you're not going to find the perfect one. But if it checks off,
you're going to compromise no matter what.
Of 15. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Like, and so as much as we know, we can't just want any job we want. And don't forget that to put yourself first on this thing because you want longevity. You don't want to get, you don't want to get the hire and then find it's not the right job either for you, as much as they don't want it for you as well, right? They want to find the right fit. And so showing off that passion, if that's the dream job, I think it shows a bit of confidence. If I was interviewing someone and they came in with a little bit of some like priority into what they were looking for, I would think that person's really done their job, right?
Same.
Totally.
Yeah. That would be, so think about what the person on the other end of that table will think about if you present something like that. Like to me, it's always the easiest way to wonder, like, should I do this or not? Think about how it will either impress them or make them maybe think twice, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because there's risk on both sides, mm-hmm. especially on their side. Like, they don't want to, like, have to hire and train, and then it doesn't fit, and therefore, like, they're out of time. You know, they wasted the time and money. And so it is that two-way street, and that's that empathetic sort of resonance where I think us as freelancers and creatives, like, have a strong ability in that. Like, we can think of, like, how are they processing? How are they, like, what's the perspective on the other side of this? I think we're good at that, just inherently.
Right.
Which is a great soft skill.
Like,
I think utilizing that all throughout your process is killer.
It's going to only benefit you, you know? And, and so, and this other, this next kind of area that was kind of really recommended to look at, and I think we've all gotten a crash course in this, but this is kind of like getting to know all the remote tools because of one, it might be just the first interview. And then that might be the only thing you do with them virtually. It could be a hybrid job that you're going to. It could be 100% at home. You might never even meet these people you work with. It's kind of the new norm in a lot of ways. But isn't it interesting too? Have you met a few people that just haven't got it yet on the Zoom thing and everything else? And you're just almost like, it does put a little background into you going like, gosh, can you, I don't know if I have the time to deal with that sometimes. And I think an employer is going to think the same way, right?
Yeah. Well, especially in our industry where it's like, you know, sort of software and technology is a big part of what we do. It's not fine art, you know? So like, I would expect sort of anyone in that regard, if I'm hiring someone, to like be capable and understanding of like new technology that we're all utilizing to accomplish jobs, you know, or be able to adapt pretty quickly.
For sure. For sure.
Are there any etiquette things you guys have learned over the last year and a half that have been kind of crucial in the way you handle either the Zoom meetings or anything that you're doing that's even Slack and all the online kind of, you know, team software things? That has been a crash course for me because, you know, Mikel, I stayed clear of those things forever until it was like absolute must. And now, you know, I'm on way too many. But what things have you found that have made it, have come to your advantage that you like, man, I can slay this? When it comes
on Zoom and Teams, those more specifically, I've learned to be quiet and not talking over the other person, not quick to prove, not quick to showcase my proficiency and make them feel like they're in the right hands. Just take deep breaths, put my hands together, nod, have the individual, I'm not feeling insecure anymore about having the individual see that I'm taking notes or ask for a moment for me to just revert back to what had been mentioned just prior so I'm sure to take it in the right way. I mean, it used to be more of a hurry, get there.
Yes.
And now I'm just slowing down a little bit more and I'm not afraid to let the other individuals on the other end know that.
Totally.
I love that. You wouldn't have never learned that unless going through it, right? Like,
for sure. Or having somebody that you trust point it out about the way that you converse or address things. Yeah. Really, really good results have come from it, I think, so far.
What have you found, Jordan?
I think the biggest thing is like, you be prompt and not late to meetings. And like, this is, man, I'm just
honestly,
totally
dumbfounded. It sounds simple, but it's not easy.
Totally not easy. But like, there's something like, you know, if you're late to a meeting, like in person, you know, you would never do that, right? At least on the job. And so like with sort of Zoom, where it's like with a client or with someone who's hiring you, you know, if you're late to these meetings, for some reason it's worsened because like, shit, I see you on Slack. We have a meeting. I know you're in front of your computer and like you're 10 minutes late. Like it, for some reason it's like worse, you know what I mean? Cause it's like, oh, there's no emergency. You're just at your computer and you're probably like, I don't know, whatever it might be. But I think like punctual Zoom meetings is pretty crucial. And then, you know, also there's a weird thing of like, and I don't know if this is etiquette or not, but like when to put on the camera. If like, I hate being the only one on video and I like there's three other people on the call and they're not on video. And that just might be like, look, like I'm talking
isn't
to an audience
weird
of one.
Thing?
It feels
isn't
like
a weird thing?
Try teaching with 30 kids and you're the only one with a freaking camera on.
Do you ever say ahead of time, please, if you can.
Or could we ask, like, video you can or ask. Call?
I think, too, like, it's hard in the profession. It's hard if it's you and a new business or a new client or new associate. I know that's really weird. But I wonder if they have it off. There's probably a reason. So I don't want to, like, I don't know if it's the house is a
clutter. I would never say anything.
You know, right? With the school side, it's been a little bit challenging. I'm pushing them little by little. We can't enforce it, but but good news is I'm having my first actual on-campus class on Monday night. So we're coming back in a small way. So that's,
you know, hell yeah. I have had this happen with copywriters or developers mm-hmm. that are supporting, and we're on a direct call with the client and they're not showing face.
Yeah.
And to me, that can be a little bit on me mm-hmm. as a ramification if you're not able or willing. So I've learned for those engineer personalities more specifically, like, please make sure you take the time to shit, shower, and shave. We want to see you. It's important for my client to see you.
So that's the ticket. Cause I feel like on our end, like, I'm going to have to be on video no matter what, cause I'm usually leading a call with a client or, you know, part of a team, like whatever that might be. So if, like, I have someone on the side who is supporting me in any way, and, like, they're also not with a client, like, it does feel like, ugh, like, we're not put together. I don't know. And these are, like, very, like, unspoken things, I think, that we're all just thinking, because mm-hmm. we've been doing Zoom long enough, we're finding these weird things.
That's perfectly said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, think about a pitch meeting. It's like, you fucking, everyone's practiced, you know, you got your bits and your pieces, you got your show shit. So, like, it is a presentation.
Yeah.
And I think Zoom calls are kind of like that, too. God, they if are. It's like, if we're presenting a deck, everyone has to be on
isn't it?
For sure.
Okay, so we're well beyond the past thing of, like, guess what? I'm in my home. That's gone. We know that's a given. So your job now is to adapt the same way we have where, think about it, even when you got your first cubicle at a job somewhere, you're like, I'm going to make this look, I'm going to bring in little things and blah, blah, blah. You know, so, like, you're heightening the optics already. And now it's more than ever important to do it, especially if you're on the interview thing or whatever. But even, like, you were saying with teams, you should be able to tell someone, hey, you and I are representing each other. Like, you know, put your camera on. Get a common virtual background that makes it look like you are from the same office. Something. Consistency, right? Like, cohesiveness. No excuse anymore, I think, at that point.
No, agreed.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So knowing these things, and I was trying to think of the benefit for me, and I think it's just I'm using calendar a lot more. Like, I'm putting, because it's now a Zoom, or if it's being done on meetings or on, you know, you name it. I think it's making me more organized in a way, because it's no longer like, hey, call me at 2. Now it's if it's a Zoom thing, it feels more official. So that's getting me, I feel better to be ready to go. And I think also too, like, everything on this side of the camera is a disaster. Whatever's over here looks good. And to all of you listening, I was pointing behind my computer and behind my shoulders. So, because I think that's the other thing. As long as this all stays the same, got nothing to worry about, right? Crazy.
The stage.
So this next area is kind of a combination of kind of remembering that your vital stats, everything about you as a potential candidate, have you updated them? Do you know them? Like, are these things, like, you know, we were talking about elevator pitches the other day in class, and it got me to, like, even write one for the first time in forever.
Cool.
Like, what is that? What is your bio? Have you changed that in a while? Your resume and everything about, including us, our portfolios, you know, right now, we were just talking earlier about it's been forever since we've done any update. Yeah. Chances are, we may not need it. If it's working fine and we're not out there looking for new jobs or whatever, that's back burner, right? But if you're looking for a job, what are the things you would, like, tune up immediately when it comes to, like, just your, call it your vital stats, like everything you've got going on?
Well, I think that's, man, like, when I first started freelancing, mm-hmm. most of my focus was on, like, self-promotion, keeping everything super updated, making sure all my accolades were in there, always on social media posting stuff, right? And, like, I think that got me to the door of, like, I got clients, and then the rest of it is, like, I get mostly work through, like, word of mouth and networking. And that's kind of the place that everyone wants to be. And I think you get there, but yeah, I think, man, being able to self-promote and put yourself out there consistently, like, all the time is crucial. And it's so important to do that throughout, obviously. But like now I'm just at a point where, like, you know, people see my work and then other people, like, you know, shoot my name out there or something like that.
There's so much more pressure to keep up on that stuff now than ever before to me in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think at people, you know, after you've been in it a few years, like, you can kind of get a little lax about it. You know, if it's still working, like, if you're still getting work, you know, then something's working. But
yeah,
I do think, like, that stuff is so critical in the beginning. Like, I don't think I don't know how I would have got work without really focusing on, you know, my portfolio and kind of throwing my name out there and getting way more involved.
Yeah.
Not being afraid to throw your name in the bucket, really, in a lot of ways. Like, hey, there's a bucket out there of talent ready to be hired. And guess what? My name's in it. Like, I think sometimes you don't even, we're not even thinking that clearly, right?
Yeah. I feel like you get a little older and, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just like the vanity of it all. But, like, I get requested for work so often. Like, the thought of, like, having to go put my name out there and, like, ask for work is like, I haven't done that in a long time, which is probably a bad thing. Like, I think it's good to always kind of, like, flex those muscles.
Or, like, feel like you should at least be able fish, to. Right? Like, do a, like, to the dream client or something else. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I, well, some proposals, like, I send proposals all the time, you know, and there's plenty of that I don't get. But
Yeah. And those become templated over time. So it's not as daunting to.
Yeah. Yes. Like, I don't feel bad because I didn't put work into it, really, because it's already
built.
Thank
God for those, man.
Dude, no doubt.
They are
I've been using my proposal thing and my agreement thing, like, rapid fire the last few weeks. It's so good when you have something
it's
done.
It's so useful.
You know, but this, I would say the one thing we always forget too, and I see this a lot with designers, is don't forget who your audience is. If you're out there in the job market, your audience are, in most cases, the first wave at least, are not going to be creatives. And I think a lot of times we're designing for other creatives when it comes to what we put together. And don't forget, these, they might not be well-versed in a lot of this stuff. So are you really being crystal clear with your benefit of who you are, what you can offer, and what the value is in having you on their team? I think a lot of times too, we are just so more concentrated on aesthetics and did we choose the right font, as opposed to, is this communicating to a non-creative a lot of times?
Yeah.
You know?
And that's like showcasing the thought put behind things of, like, what was that critical thinking? Like, why is this a good logo, for example? Like, talking about the thought put about, like, this is the client, this is their values, here's how it reflects that. Like, that sort of meat behind it all, I think, is probably more important if you're trying to, like, especially get work through, like, agencies and stuff. Like, that's what they're looking for. It's like, yes, okay, check the box, you design great, but also, like, how are you in critical thinking, or, like, whatever that culture of the agency is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. It is a different animal to have that application process come about for an agency versus what we might experience for a gig that can be temporarily big or longstanding in the long haul. I will say, once you put it more at practice, it's more comfortable. So I would imagine for the three of us, since we're pretty regularly applying for those onesie twosies once every month or so, it's just not intimidating to the degree that it might be for getting into an agency position. But for that reason, I think it's so great to push yourself when those do come about, just to see if you still got it. And then ask for that debriefing following so that you can learn from it. Mm-hmm. Everybody can afford a good 2 to 5 minutes to just straight out tell you, this is actually, you were top of the pile, but this is why we opted for X, Y, and Z or something.
Yeah. Asking the question, I think, is another thing. Putting yourself in the mindset of the person in interviewing you, wouldn't you feel great if the person asked you some questions in return? It is a two-way street. You shouldn't just be sitting there on, like in an interrogation. You know, it's like you get to ask a question, you know?
There's a sense of confidence in that. Like, if I'm interviewing someone, you know, the few times I've hired people, like, I really appreciate, like, that feedback of, like, you know, the understanding the process a bit more. And also, like, you're hiring me as much as I'm hiring you. Like, if you want to come on board, like, there is you know, this sort of level playing field in that regard of like, I appreciate that, you know, understanding a bit.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I think ultimately it's like the biggest question for this sort of aspect is like, you have to know your values and like, what are they? And then how do you relate those? Because, you know, big picture, no one is hiring you for like, if you're a great illustrator, it's like a lot of agencies, there's more to it than that. Like, are you, yeah, you know, how's your time management? How is your communication skills? Right? Like, you know, do you have any skills in sales? Like all these other soft skills that really do set the bar. It's less of like, hey, you make great logos, but like that's baseline at this point because we're so dependent on being able to adapt to different services. I think as creatives, like it's not a one-stop shop for most people. And so having those other skills, like how can you also market those? How can you also translate those like visually or through social media or LinkedIn or whatever that might be instead of just, you know, here's my work.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah. This next section kind of get a little more specific on you as the creative and the creative skills and the things that really have changed a lot over this last year. And a lot of these are focused on the idea of like, you know, the markets have changed, the kind of hiring kind of traits and the trends have changed so much. And talking to a lot of recruiters that are helping like either my students or some of the alumni get into things. Mm. This one line that one of them said was this idea about graphic designers may work in a variety of different settings more than ever. It's no longer just the job thing is going to say graphic designer for hire and say, you need illustrator skills, typography skills, you know, and maybe it'd be great if you can do photography. Like it's no longer that simple.
No.
Simple. It's so just detail oriented and everything. But her advice was that like expanding on the job titles you are looking for is one of the greatest methods to improve your chances of getting a job in the design field. And what she was talking about was this idea that other than just looking for graphic designer, it might be communicative designer. It might be in environmental designer. It might be something totally different. So if you increase these odds of what you're looking for by extending the search, or even in the field or maybe even the city, like what are the things do you think like someone looking could expand their horizons on, you know, when they're looking? I mean, is it like, I think sometimes we go, I know here in LA, everyone goes for the name brand, like studio, right? Like
sure.
Sometimes the little niche, you know, boutique one could be a better one. So maybe even searching more, your search is broader to, it doesn't have to be a name that you know and already have heard of. Sometimes I think the better jobs could be found in some of these smaller offerings, but just as good when it comes to what you're going to be learning, you know?
I think that's totally true, especially if like you're looking, again, if you're looking to onboard at an agency, like even in Portland, if I just Google like Portland design or creative agencies, the top 10, I'm like, dude, these ones are not where I would go.
Yeah.
And they're not even necessarily the biggest. They might just like have great SEO. But like, I think like really trying to get into the nitty gritty or like find agencies that are like doing cool stuff. Or, you know, if there's a brewery or like local businesses, like try to find who they hire, you know, if they're kind of like a larger scale, likely someone local, likely an agency. Like I found the coolest collaborations and agency contract work just by like that sort of thing. It's usually just like a quick Google search is not going to give you, I don't think, like the best results. That's just coming from like my own experience.
So how did you narrow that search? What was your experience then? How did you seek?
For me, it's always like, oh, you know, this local brewery, because again, I live in Portland, so like, and I do a lot of work in the beverage industry. So like, oh, who'd they use, you know? And it's like, oh, it's a smaller, like 10 person creative agency. And like, you know, I find them on Instagram and like, I give them a shout out, whatever.
Yeah.
And just so like now they're aware, and I've gotten work just from like that sort of thing of like, oh, you also do beer work. We're always looking, you know, we do a lot of beer work and we're always looking to hire someone.
Okay.
Like, and they were just a smaller agency, like, but they still, you know, great budget. They're still totally in line and it's a culture that I like subscribe to and like, but yeah, all the big shot, like, you know, those top 10 in Portland, they're like, sure, Wedding Kennedy, but it's like, I mean, yeah, you can send a resume, but it's just like a total different picture. Like they're so mass scale, you know, it's just a different level versus someone that small, the success of being able to like just shoot them a message on Instagram and I got work. Like I couldn't do that with Wedding Kennedy. I couldn't do that with like some of these bigger agencies here.
There might be less hurdles to get through to the real stakeholder.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Like someone who can
actually
like
direct,
make the decision.
You know?
Yeah, that's why I think some of those smaller ones are great.
Yeah, there's a lot. And I would argue, like, man, some of the smaller agencies, you'd be surprised, like, the kind of clients they can get, mm-hmm. you know. I would say, like, yeah, try to narrow down that searches, or just, like, try to, you know, dig in. If you live in, like, a pretty, I'd say, like, maybe a little bigger town or city, likely there's a few agencies yeah. doing some cool shit.
Oh, and the hats you'll be wearing, that you wear yeah. so many more hats at a smaller spot, and you might be given the chance to work on something very immediately that would have taken you months, if not years, at a bigger place. Yeah,
that's a very good point.
Just because of that ladder, you know? And totally. So I guess be flexible, you know, don't
yeah, give yourself a chance to be a unicorn.
Exactly. And yeah. so look at a unicorn of offerings as well, because it's kind of like you're just opening that spread up a little bit more. It might sound a little more daunting. And I can only imagine, I've seen people with spreadsheets of, like, what they're, you know, every time they apply, they'll put it in a spreadsheet. And it could be very, you know, disheartening to be going through this process right now. But so if you could spread that kind of, like, offering and expand to those searches and things a little bit more, you just never know. I think, to me, that's a great yeah. advice when it comes to that.
Well, dude, and, like, I'm going to tell you right now, every agency I see in Portland is trying to hire people. Like,
wow.
Creative agencies right now are, like, looking really hard. So much so that, like, if you don't want to work full time, they're even just taking contractors. Cause, like, God, I mean, COVID, you know, it's through every industry, but, like, people are realizing, like, I want to do something different, or I want to do something for myself. And, like, a lot of people went freelance. So, like, I think, yeah, if you're trying to find an agency job, like, right now is a great time. Like, they are hiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll tell you that the coolest thing I've seen a lot of people be able to do is this idea of upscaling, kind of.
Yeah, like, I was just going to bring this up.
Wow. I mean, like, okay. So
you can, in a sense, yeah. I mean, oftentimes we don't preach this, but settle for knowing that there's ladder system from within.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah. And if you can come in a way where you have abilities that are beyond what, like, they might be asking for. Or this idea that, like, you are an illustrator, but gosh, you took a motion graphics class as well. I love the young designers that are going into brand and love design, but they can illustrate like crazy. And what a beautiful little fusion that is, right? Of, like,
for sure.
And make sure you're yeah. telling them that. But, like, if you have any additional element of talent that you do, even if it's a side thing, and we can even talk about personal projects being a part of this too. If you've done a personal project and a passion project, that's something really great. And it shows a whole other side of you in your portfolio. Don't think someone will not gravitate to that. They will love your work, and then they'll see where your heart is and where your true creativity is by throwing in a personal project or something really unique or different that's off of that beaten path of, like, let's say you're just a pure packaging person. If you can come in and you know a little UI UX, I mean, like, you're a two for one. Right? Dude. It's great.
Yeah. Or look, I would say the best advice I would give to any, like, creative right now who has interest in motion in any regard, please wow. learn. Like, it is the most sought after skill right now. And it is very hard yeah. to, like, jump into. It's a second language, right? But, like, mm-hmm. God, if you have any interest in, like, you want to learn the programs and how everything works, like, I guarantee you will be miles ahead. If you can do mm-hmm. any other skill plus motion, you're gold.
Wow.
Everyone's yeah. looking for motion right now. And it's only going to be more in demand as we continue this digital age we're in. Like,
yeah.
That is probably the number one skill.
If you're curious to add something and you can't figure it out to your little yeah. repertoire, that is the one. And you're right. I'm seeing it everywhere. And it doesn't mean you have to go into something so advanced so quickly. I think too, if you just are offering some motion, some movement in your portfolio in some way, and it could be even in its easiest forms of learning something on Rush or something in Spark, and it's something that just at least gives you some, you're like, yeah, as a matter of fact, I am learning motion right now and I'm taking a course in this. Even if you don't have it under your belt, just the idea that you're curious about it and looking into it, wouldn't you hire that person in a heartbeat? Like, if it's not demanding of the position right now, but you know it could come down the road.
I'm always looking for motion animators, mm-hmm. you know, even in just, like, clients that, like, they're always wanting them, or, like, I've landed a couple bigger contracts where, like, motion was part of the package. So I said yes, and I'd find one. So, like, it's such a selling point. And God, if you can do your own, like, your portfolio is going to look sick. Like, oh, everything looks better in movement. Like, logos in this day and age, you know, logo packages, it's like, here's your suite, here's the system. Also,
yes,
this is your non-static versions. And those are becoming more and more prevalent. And as they do, clients will start to expect them. And I find, like, larger clients always expect, like, in our scope, there is a whole motion package. It might even just be small, but it has to be in there. And so, like, that's stuff I'm constantly, like, sending out the contract just because I don't know how to do it.
Good. Yeah.
But
yeah,
there's a ton of work.
So interesting. We have found with these lead gen digital media assets, they're being targeted to specific personas and specific published written target audience members. And we have found that they don't even take static anymore. They're only taking HTML5.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it's only going to continue that route where like static is like such a secondary asset because everything's digital now. Like,
so I have to, maybe this is playing too much devil's ad, but remember when it, like all the gradients and the background fluidity of design was going crazy and then it went straight to flat again.
Oh yeah.
So I'm just prepared for perhaps motion to get too carried away.
And we go back
to static.
Yeah. It's tough because it is like style and movement is like so different, right? Like where you have realism skew versus like flat, simple. Both could be in motion. So like
that's true.
It is a third tier. And ultimately, like I think motion itself will be a subcategory where like the style of motion will definitely be data. Oh. Like, oh, the way things fluid movement versus like, you know, sort of static driven versus something that is like subtle and clean versus maybe something that is.
That is true.
I think motion will be like alongside of style visuals. So like, yeah, I don't know if motion will go anywhere, but I think that'll definitely change throughout.
Yeah.
You know, and I think bigger companies.
I think you're both right because I could see it both. I could see it going.
Yeah, because even just depth and drop shadows and all the different ways that you could incorporate shadowing or glow.
Yeah.
And now that people don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Like, I think you're right where we probably will go overboard. We're like, God, everything, like if I'm on a page, everything's moving.
Like, be interesting to kind of
taste is still
back
be a part
into
of
this conversation after a good year and see where it's at.
Oh, totally. Because like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm finding like even in presentation decks, like with these agencies I'm contracting with the last couple months, it's like we're putting motion into like the deck itself throughout and it looks amazing. But like, that's just another touch point. We're like, oh shit, there's so many areas we haven't even thought about. Like, where can we actually put motion into that actually has an impact?
Think about when you hit
a fucking presentation deck.
When you hit the like button on any social media, there's an engagement there. That thing pulses for a second and a little sparkle goes around it. Like, and it's the haptic feed on the screen. You're like, you're getting it in every sense, right? So it's kind of
Apple
like
broke ground with like the way we scroll, how it's fluid and it has a ramp up and it slows down and it feels natural.
So that's
like,
even
that's
motion.
Just code.
Yeah,
that's
you're
motion.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not so much is the Olive Garden logo animated every time you see it. You know, it's more, and I think you're right. I think there's going to be a balance. We're going to get to a point where it will stay in a very aesthetic and pleasing and almost call to action kind of way, because that's truly what it's doing. It's kind of giving you a little pulse going, hey, get your eyes over here, right? That's really what it's doing.
But, I think so.
So I guess learn motion, guys.
Yeah, I know. Well, especially like presenting shit, like God, you throw a little motion in that deck and the client isn't expecting it, you know, like, holy shit, this is great. We're sold.
Yeah.
Like, and to be, I think it helps get a yes much
it
quicker.
It is impressive. Yeah. It is so visually impressive.
Even on my level of motion is basically me throwing in some animation on Keynote in a presentation. That's enough because for me, it's doing all that and showing it. And I
that's
love
a good point.
Sometimes it can be really applied with
such sophistication that it's just a touch.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a touch.
Yeah, exactly. So we were mentioning that, not only that, but like, don't be afraid on those personal projects. They're invaluable. A lot of folks, particularly when we do like portfolio reviews and stuff, they love when they see young designers or even anyone showing a little bit of the, if it was up to you as a creative, what would you be doing without a brief, you know? And I think it shows
that's
a
huge.
Lot.
Yeah. Well, it shows creative thinking. Mm-hmm. I think it shows that skill that like, if I'm hiring someone, great, you're a good designer, but like, how did you accomplish? Like, what was your thought process? Cause that's so much of it.
And it's a human touch in a way too. And what I've seen too is certain people that may not be great presenters when they're presenting their work, when they talk about their personal project, they come alive, you know, they light up. And I guess that gives them some now understanding of how they should be throughout the process. I've even recorded people doing presentations because they need to see the video of themselves presenting and how different they are through there. And the whole idea is to show an
that's
even
a really good
even thing.
You know? Oh, that would, I would hate that. That would suck.
Yeah.
But like, that doesn't go away. Like, think about your favorite project. It's because like, I had a little more control and it was like success because like, it kind of went, like, it wasn't just like client personal preference in a brief. It was like, we developed something that works.
Yeah.
So I think this probably makes total sense of, you know, some of your best work can be like where you kind of follow your gut.
Yeah.
Or experience.
And this leads to our kind of like our last thing. It could be such a cool little sum up here because Mikkel brought up something really cool to kind of highlight here, but this idea of thinking beyond COVID, what have we learned? What can you take with it? How has it changed our industry? And there's this idea here too, that, you know, let's start looking more forward to what creativity and what designers can add in a world in the future. And one of the cool things we saw, and she just showed me a link of it earlier and I looked it up, was this Dribbble pitch, which is, and even TikTok has Resume, right? The way we've moved, I never thought in a million years human resource people would have to now like go to TikTok to look for candidates. I couldn't have bought that a year ago, right? But talk a little bit about this Dribbble thing that you found. And if you guys are curious, it's at dribbble.com/pro/pitch. It is part of their pro program, so you do have to pay for this. But what gravitated you to that?
You do have to pay for it. But it might be worth it if you're in a position
month to month.
You have to subscription based. So it is interesting you bring up TikTok, because don't you think that might be the distinction between a potential employer viewing your work through an Instagram feed? Or your Instagram account, excuse me, versus your LinkedIn professional account. So there's that corporate, that corporate angle. I would imagine that if people see that you're utilizing a system by Dribbble, and it's for a creative position, they'll be more apt to look at that.
Yeah.
So it's just something to keep in mind. But this is so cool because and you know, this also assumes that people are going to take the time to view your video and listen if it's 4 to 6 minutes long. And we just emphasized earlier within this episode that you have to captivate immediately. So there's a little bit of a tricky balance between the two, I would imagine. But by and large, this is a system that you just utilize as you can't pick up the phone or walk through a door anymore and say, can I talk to the owner or the CEO, please?
It's never stopped me, though.
I'm just totally kidding.
You send a brief video. It's video means. And you showcase and you speak to your potential interview or you're applying to a position in this regard. Or showcasing your portfolio. Maybe it's just one that you're particularly proud of, so that you don't
like a case study or something.
Yeah, a case study, a use case study, so you're not overwhelming.
This is about time. Like, I'm looking at this going, like, I know. When I saw the TikTok one, I was kind of like really hesitant to agree on it, even though I know the power it has. And let's face it, I'm assuming folks that are hiring are gonna look and they will check. I've checked social media accounts before hiring people back in the agency days, like. And now with TikTok, I think it would be the first place someone would probably go. But I love this Dribbble idea. They're basically saying, change the way you introduce yourself and showcase your work with Dribbble's newest feature called Pitch. Put your best foot forward to win clients or get a job like never before. And you basically do a really cool like little video intro to your page. You can actually go into specifics and go to an actual product or a pitch you have in there or a project and talk a little bit about it. I think this is like...
We can provide the URL link to this episode, because I think that perhaps the best part to this, you guys, is that your potential pitch video, it also displays where hiring managers and prospective clients search for designers like you for hire. Yeah. So it really can help you stand out amidst a crowd. I didn't know yeah. this. I mean, if Dribbble understands that they've analyzed that this is where hiring managers are going, awesome. Why would it be? It's kind of a little bit of a no-brainer.
Dribbble and Behance have really become recruiters, and folks now know they have it in their toolbox to look for. It's like, just bypass LinkedIn. Let's go straight there and find the creative person that we want. And so to me, the Dribbble idea is really, really cool because I'm looking through it. It's getting me wanting to try this because one thing I think would be a great thing for anyone out there. Part of what we were telling, one of the topics we were going to talk a little bit about, but I know we're pressed for time, is just storytelling, right? And being able to tell your story and be comfortable in the camera. This at least probably gives you the chance to do it over and over again until you like what you see. But if you're not comfortable behind a camera right now, I hate to tell it to you, but that's something we all have to get good at and practice all the time, you know?
Yeah. So, but to be clear, you have to have a Dribbble profile, right?
Yes.
Lives with your Dribbble profile.
But you have to have the pro account.
Yes.
So it's a pay. That's everything else is free with invite.
But I think pro, they have like a few different tiers. But I think like the baseline is like $20 a year. It's like pretty cheap.
Oh, that's so minimal.
I don't know if this one falls into that. I can't remember.
Oh, here it is. So it's roughly $5 per month when you pay annually.
Okay. It's so great. So when people are scrolling through your Dribbble account, your video isn't like blaring, boom, right in front of these people. It's just to the side speaking to these potential managers as they're scrolling through your portfolio pieces. On the fly. They can manually control it so that they pause and play if they didn't catch something. It's just awesome.
Well, don't you think too, if they were scrolling through and someone, I'm sure it's going to say, recruiter, this one has a video. I'm going to click that one before the non-video. It's like a LinkedIn profile that doesn't have a picture.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. It's an interesting, they're definitely pushing into uncharted territory with like how we're sort of self-marketing and how recruiters find people. Because like, you're right, we're like this day and age, like the younger generation is so comfortable in front of camera just because of like apps like TikTok or going live or all these things that like, you know, I think our generation had to like get comfortable with. I think it's inherent with that.
And maybe it's just like, it's lucky probably here to stay. That in the industry itself, there will be those employers that are willing to view it versus those that are in the financial industry and don't even want to go there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Because like, I don't know. I can see it work both ways. Like, I don't know if I'm looking for someone, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I have no idea. I'm like so... in a different generation. So like my mind is like, I don't know if I would want to like just watch videos.
Me neither. If
I'm like
that.
Trying to go through 100 people, like
I don't know.
I don't want to deal with that.
I don't know either.
And I think a lot of agencies probably hire more than a couple, but recruiters is different.
Yeah. And like, I think
they're looking for this. Yeah.
The typical, like sometimes I see this like VP of human resources at some hip new company. Person looks like they're 22. So it's like, they're probably on TikTok but to me, I think 100%, this can't hurt. This is like, to me, I think it's like something at least worth trying, even just if it helps you practice and get better. But I think there's some future in this that like, just like we were saying, logos are turning to motion and static will be out of like play. I think online profiles and areas of you showcasing your work will have to come with this down the road. Just as strong, you know?
Yeah.
It's a personal touch.
Oh my God. Totally. I can't keep.
This was your suggestion, Mikkel. It's you've let the cat out of the bag here.
I know. I knew it was gonna be. It's good. I knew it was gonna be good to discuss, but it doesn't mean
it's not for everybody.
Be keeping it real with our listening audience. That doesn't daunt us. We're human, all the same. That we know that this has to and or should be on our radar list. I mean, it's the tech world that we live in.
Yes.
Here, you said it pretty much exactly like this. This major point, I think, in all this, maybe even wrapping, like this idea of like you need to know your industry, especially us as freelancers, because no one else has their thumb on the pulse of our market and how things are operating. And so, like, if we're not doing that, if we're not constantly checking in and seeing what's working and how people are hiring or what the going rate is for this, like, well, we just won't know. No one's doing that for us. We're not getting briefs. Yeah. We're not getting emails of like, hey, here's the latest numbers. And so, like, these kind of things are kind of critical to like at least be aware of and make make yourself aware of.
Yeah. This could live on your portfolio, your website. You don't have to do it on Dribbble.
Yeah, you could adopt this and like, oh, I can add even an audio file case study. Yeah. Like, hey, let me, you know, as you look through stuff, I can record something that's a minute and a half long. And I don't know.
Yeah, Jordan will compose a little, like, you know, background music for you. It'd be wonderful. Just hit him up.
Church organ. Spooky.
That Halloween would be edition scary.
For all my case studies, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, you know, if you guys have, you know, are in this zone right now, and when we post this on Instagram and everywhere else, let us know if you've been in this zone. Is there any frustrations, or share some of the good stuff too? If anybody's landed a job recently and needs to celebrate, we'd love to hear it as well. Cause I think that's always it's neat to start seeing, I got a job, you know, like that after what we've just gone through, that it's very optimistic to see the job boards so wide open, and hopefully people are filling them and finding their dream jobs, you know?
Yeah. And if you found like little tips and tricks of like how you're getting, because, you know, the three of us, I think, well, at least for me, it's been a while since I've been a young designer in that position. So like, I only know kind of what I see and what I hear. So I'm curious perspective of the young designer, how they're handling it and how they're finding it. There's probably a bunch of shit that we don't know.
Yeah. I love it that you brought that up. That's good.
Well, awesome, guys. Well, that was great. Fantastic episode. We'll be back soon, hopefully in a few weeks, with another episode. Until then, guys, hope you enjoyed it. See y'all later.